Daf is Tamid Daf Lamed Aleph. We begin the fourth parak of Maseches Tamid today. Just a quick word about what we said at the very end yesterday. We were discussing how there were three steps. There was this Evan in front of the menorah, and there were these three steps. This Evan was made up of three steps in front of the menorah, and the Kohen would stand on it when he would clean out the menorah, and when he would light the menorah as well. He was on the top of those three steps. So there is a halacha that a kohen has to stand al haritzpah at the time of the avodah. He has to stand directly on the floor of the azar. It's not okay to have a chatzitza. He's not allowed to wear shoes. He's not allowed to wear socks. He's not allowed to have a carpet underneath him, even though the floor is very cold. There can't be anything that's mafsik between himself and the ritzpah. So some of the achronim deal with the question: how could he have this even underneath him? This even was not part of the ritzpah's azar, and nevertheless he would stand on top of this even. So the Mikdash David writes that since you don't need big de kuhuna for the hatavas haneros, so chatzitza doesn't passel either, meaning the whole din of chatzitza passeling is only for those things that you need to wear big de kuhuna for. But since it's not necessary to wear big de kuhuna for the hatavas haneros, chatzitza is not going to be a problem either. However, the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayis writes that he would stand on this stone not only when he would do the hatavas haneros, not only when he would clean out the neros, but even when he would do the hadlakas haneros. Hadlaka is definitely an avodah, so hadlaka would be a problem of chatzitza. So why is this not a problem of chatzitza? Now in Rashi al Torah, in the beginning of Parsha Baloscha, it says that the Kohen would stand on this umeitiv asaneros. Sounds like it was only at the shas hatava, not at the shas hadlaka. But again, it doesn't help the Rambam. The Rambam holds that the Kohen would stand there even for the shas hadlaka, and you're not allowed to have a chatzitza. So why isn't this stone a problem of chatzitza? So in the Biur Hadaf, he quotes the Shiurei HaGrid, who deals with this, and he says maybe this Evan was Mechubar Lekarka. If it was Mechubar Lekarka, then it takes on the status of the Ritzvah HaZara, then it takes on the status of the floor, it becomes part of the floor itself. However, he says, we don't find anywhere that this stone was actually Mechubar Lekarka, and it seems to be a Davar Mechudash, seems to be quite a Chiddush to suggest this change in the actual structure of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Briska Rav is Miyashiv based on a Ravid, that the Ravid over here says that the makar to make this Evan in front of the menorah is a Sifri. The Medrash and the Sifri learns from the Pasuk Bahaloscha that Asei l'menorah ma'ala, that from the fact that it says Baha'aloscha, we see that there's supposed to be some sort of step for the menorah. So it could be that is part of the halacha of hatavas and hadlakas menorah, that it should dafka be done on a step. So mail, it's not going to be chotzitz, because it's a gzeres hakasuv that this is the way the avodah was supposed to be done. Meaning, if this were just something that they decided to add in to make it easier for the kohen, so then that's going to be chatzitza. That's like telling him to wear slippers so that his feet don't get cold. So that's going to be chatzitza. But if this is part of the nature of the avodah, this is part of the way the Torah demands that the avodah be done, so then it's not going to be chatzitza at all. That's the halacha of the avodah. The Ravid says he doesn't know why they dafka made three steps. The Bartanura says the three steps are connected three lishonos of ha'ala'a that we find in the psukim. Ba'haloscha esaneros, ve'he'ela esneroseha, la'ha'alos ner tamid. So the three lishonos all correspond to the three steps that they had in front of the menorah. Okay, that was the end of the third parak of Maseches Tamid. So now we begin the fourth parak. Says the Mishnah. Now we have the animal, and this Mishnah is going to describe how they would shecht and dissect the animal. It's going to take us from the shechita of the animal through the bringing of the various parts of the animal onto the Mizbeach. Long Mishnah takes us through halfway down Amud Beis, halfway down Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Lo ayukovsin asatle. They wouldn't tie it down in the conventional fashion. What was the conventional fashion? Says the Rush, Dalid Raglav Biyachad, to tie all four legs together. Velo Beis Raglayim Yachad, Beis Yadayim Yachad. Nor would they tie the two hind legs together and the two fore legs together. That's not the way they would do it with the Karban Tamid. Ella ma'akidin also. They would do what we call akeda. Well, what's akeda? Says the Rush. They would ma'akidin also yad v'regel ka'akedas Yitzchak. The right foreleg with the right hind leg, and the left foreleg with the left hind leg. So it wasn't the two forelegs together, two hind legs together. It wasn't all four legs together. It was the two right legs with the two right legs together and the two left legs together. That is akeda. This is called akeda, because that's what Avraham Avinu did with Akedas Yitzchak, that he bound them together. We mentioned in the past the great Musar from Akedas Yitzchak. I think it's Meshachachma, maybe I'm not sure, that it's called Akedas Yitzchak. It's not called Halas Yitzchak, Shchitas Yitzchak. It's called Akedas Yitzchak, because the whole Maila was that part of the greatness of what Yitzchak accomplished through the Akeda was in telling his father, I think I'm going to jump, I think I'm going to move, I'm going to and I might possibly passel the karban, therefore you need to tie me down really well. It was the actual binding, and that's the great maila of being omed b'nisayon. This is considered the ultimate nisayon. How is one omed b'nisayon? You're omed b'nisayon by planning in advance how you're going to leave yourself the least room for failure in the nisayon. If you just wait for the moment of the nisayon to happen, so then of course we're very likely to fail the nisayon. If we didn't plan in advance, how are we going to overcome it? So Yitzchak Avinu had the foresight to say, if I wait for the moment when I see that blade coming at my neck, it's not going to be good. So he planned in advance exactly how to make sure that he wouldn't flinch when the blade came. That's why it's called Akedas Yitzchak. So we take this animal and we're ma'akid. We do Akeda. Misha Zachu Be'evar Mochsinvo, the guy who was Zocha, who won the pious to get the Evarim, would grab it, v'kach, would hold it down, v'kach haya akedaso. And this is the positioning of the animal at the time of the Akeda. Rosho l'darum, its head would be facing the south, obviously its back to the north, upanav l'marav, but its face, the animal's face, was turned toward the west, v'ashochet omed b'mizrach, upanav l'marav. The one shechting it would stand to the eastern side of the animal, facing the same way the animal's face was facing, toward the west. Shel shachar ha-yinishchat al-keren tzvonis ma-ravis al-taba shniya. The tamid shel shachar, there were two carbon tamids every day, the tamid shel shachar, the tamid shel ben arbayim. The tamid shel shachar was shechted by the northwestern corner on the second ring, on the taba'as shniya. Shel ben arbayim ha-yinishchat al-keren mizrachis tzvonis al tabashni, and the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim was shechted on the northeastern side on the second ring. Shachat ha-shochet v'kibel ha-mekabel, so the one who shechted it, the one who was supposed to be mekabel the dam, was mekabel the dam, bala l'keren mizrachas tzvonis, v'nosin mizrachas tzvona. They then came with the dam, the one who was mekabel the dam, came with the dam to the keren mizrachas tzvonis, to the northeastern corner of the mizbeach, and he placed the blood on the northeastern corner of the Mizbeach. Maravis Dromis, he then went to the south western corner of the Mizbeach, Venosid Maravidroma, and he put the blood on the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. As the Rush points out over here, Mizrach Tzvonis Maravis Dromis, Hayilem Yisod, Venosin Behem Beis Matano Shein Dalet. Those are two corners that had the full Yisod HaMizbeach, and he would put Beis Matano Shein Dalet. The halacha was, by the Karban Tamid, you needed the blood to go on all four sides, but you only needed two Matanos of Dam. You put on two corners strategically, so that when you put on each corner, it goes on the two sides that make up that corner. Shemispashtim L'dalet Ruchos HaMizbeach. That way the blood would go on all four sides of the Mizbeach. Aval Karen Dromis Mizrachis Lo Haya Yisod. They couldn't do it on the other corners because the southeastern corner didn't have a Yisod HaMizbeach. Even though the Yisod HaMizbeach, normally the base of something, would go around the entire object, but the Mizbeach wasn't so. The Yisod of the Mizbeach did not extend around the entire Mizbeach. So why do we dafka start in the northeastern side? Lefishu makom l'shchita, because that was the place where they did the shchita, so it was closest. V'gam esayim b'keren ma'aravis drom, And the reason we wanted to finish in the southwestern side is because that's closest to where you're going to have to spill out the Shiari Adam on the Yisod Dromi, by the southern side, so you want to be nearby where you have to be next. We don't want unnecessary running around the Mizbeach unnecessarily. We want to keep the movements to just what we need to do, to just what's necessary for the Avodah. So that's why they set it up in that way. Okay, so that's the reason the Yisod didn't go around is because it had to be Kula B'chalko Shel Binyamin, right? That was part of the requirement, and the if it had gone all the way around, it would have been split, and the Mizbeach is not supposed to be split in that way. So says the Mishnah Vayter, Shiari Adam Yishov Eichal Yisod Dromis. They would then take the Shiari Adam, the leftover Adam, and pour it in the Yisod Dromis, on the southern side of the Yisod, on the southern side of the Mizbeach. So now, okay, good. Now what we've done is the animal is shechted, the blood has been taken care of, all the blood that needed to be nizrak on the Mizbeach was nizrak, the Shiari Adam was poured out. Now we've got to go back to the animal and deal with the different Eivarim of the animal, dissect the animal properly, and take the different Eivarim and bring them up on the Mizbeach. So now this entire Amud is going to discuss the dissection of the animal. Loa Yishover Bo Saregel. First of all, they would not break the leg of the animal, the right leg of the animal. Ela Nokvo Mitoch Arkuvo V'Tolabo. Rather, they would hang the animal by making a hole in one of the legs of the animal and hanging it by that leg. Meaning, normally, what they would the best way to hang the animal upside down would be to break the lower joint of the leg so that it could bend completely at a right angle, and make a hole in the other leg and stick the one leg into the other leg so you could hang it from the from the enclosure of the two legs that are together. So they wouldn't do that over here. They wouldn't break the lower joint of one leg and then stick it into the other leg. Rather, they just made a simple hole in one leg and hung it from that simple hole. That was the process. And the Farish says, that's how the Farish explains, that the minhag HaTabachim was to break one regel and put it through the hole of the other regel. The Rosh adds that they would break that regel min ha'arkuva. And that's what we say, that over here by the Karban Tamid, they were mishanim minhag HaTabachim. They would do different than the normal minhag of butchers would be, because if they were to do b'minhag HaTabachim, it would ruin the dissection, because the dissection had to be done where we first cut off, we're going to see the regel yamin. The first thing we cut is the right leg. So if we were to do the minhag HaTabachim and first cut the right leg, so what's going to happen? The animal's just going to fall on the ground. We're not going to have it hanging there on the hook for the rest of the dissection, so that would obviously be problematic. The Bartanura says a little bit of a different pshat. He says, when we say lo yishov masaregel, it means that we didn't break the legs like the tabachim would do, where they break the legs with the skin on it. By the Talmud, we didn't do that. The etzem hashvira is part of the nituach, meaning you didn't keep the skin, break the legs while the skin was on it, and then later cut it up. No, we skinned it and then cut the parts that we needed, and through the cutting, that was the breaking. We didn't do any additional breaking in advance. That's how the Bartanura understands it. Since you need to do hefshet before nituach, and breaking would be considered the beginning of the nituach, and the halacha is hefshet, the skinning, has to come before the dissection, before the cutting of the animal into its different parts. That's why the Bartanura says we cannot break the leg in advance. So he has a bit of a different pshat than the Mefarish has over here. Vayter in the Mishnah, hayamafshet v'yored ad shemagia l'chaza. So then they would skin the animal and keep pulling the skin down until they got to the breast of the animal. Higia l'chaza, once they got to the breast of the animal, chata chasarosh v'nasal mishazachabo. They would cut off the head of the animal. Again, the head is at the bottom now, so because it's hanging upside down, they would cut off the head of the animal and give it to the person who was zocha to the head. So it turns out that they would skin the animal only until the chaza, stop in the middle of the skinning, right, in order to cut the head and the kra'ayim. And this is the next line, we might as well read it. They would cut and chatach as a kra'ayim nasal misha zacha behen and marak as a hefshet. They would cut the kra'ayim, the legs, and give them to whoever was zocha, and then finish the skinning of the animal. So it turns out that there was a break right in the middle of the skinning of the animal. Why would they do that? Why couldn't they just finish the skinning and then start cutting off the rosh and the kra'ayim? So the Ravid says that since they were chotech the rosh before they were korea salev, before they would rip open the heart, if they were mafshit everything, if they skinned everything, even the or that's keneged achaza v'shalamata mimenu, even the skin that's from the breast and below it, so then the animal would cool off, the heart would cool off, and the dam that we need to get out of the heart won't come out as well. We're going to see soon, we have to cut open the heart and try to draw out the dam that's in the heart. So it's going to be very difficult to do so if the animal had time to cool off. We don't want that region of the animal to cool off, so it helps to keep it warm by keeping the skin on the animal in that area. Now the Gra in his Chidushim explains a little bit differently, he explains the Mishnah differently. He says, we find in the Pasuk that the Rosh and the Kra'ayim are not part of the Nitchei HaKarban. It says Rosh Rekayim is separate from the Nesachim. So therefore it could be that they would cut the Rosh and the Kra'ayim dafka before they finish the skinning, because then it won't have a din of Nesachim of the Karban, of the dissected parts of the Karban. The whole din of Nituach is only after you finish the Hefshet. So by taking care of them before you finish the Hefshet, you are thereby making it that these are not part of the Nituach of the animal. Anything that's cut before the finishing of the Hefshet is not part of the Nituach. So it turns out that there's a Gzeres HaKosov Dafka to cut the Rosh and the Kra'ayim before the Hefshet. And that explains why they would cut the Kra'ayim right in the middle of the Hefshet, because on the Kra'ayim also there's no Din of Nituach. So they would cut that before the completion of the Hefshet. That's how the Rosh understands it. Okay, so the Gra rather understands it. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah rather, Viter. So Kara es. So now we cut off the Rosh, we cut off the Kra'ayim, Kara es, and we finish the skinning. Kara es alei v'hotzias damo. As we mentioned, the next step is you have to rip out the heart and draw out the dam from the heart. The Rosh explains that there is a particularly heavy volume of dam in the heart. The Rosh writes l'fi kishase tzamei gonachas b'shas hashchita. It groans at the time of the shechita, and it pulls the dam from the base of shechita, from the neck of the animal, and it all congeals together in the heart. And that becomes like dam that was spilled, that you never had kabbalah b'kli. That dam cannot be used on the mizbeach, so we need to take that dam, draw all that dam out, because remember, all the rest of the parts of the animal are going to be burnt on the mizbeach. This dam is pasul the mizbeach. We want this dam out of the animal before we bring anything to the mizbeach. We would then cut the hands of the animal, the four legs, and we gave them to the person who was zocha to be able to bring those up to the mizbeach. They then went up to the right leg of the animal. So they cut off the right leg together with the right hind leg of the animal. And again, this is the point where if we had hung the animal the way butchers typically hang the animal, so this would have been the end of it. The whole thing would have fallen to the floor right here when you're cutting the right hind leg. So that's why we just hang it by puncturing the left hind leg and have it hanging just from the left leg, so we can cut off the right hind leg, and the beitzim of the animal, the testicles of the animal, are together with the right hind leg. The lashon of Allah is very interesting, that we'd go up. He would go up to the right hind leg. The Ravid writes that it says the word Allah because the behemoth was hanging down from, head down, and until now we were dealing with the bottom parts of the animal, the chaza, the rosh, the heart, right, the part that was hanging lower down. Now we're going to the regel, so it's shayich lashon Allah. To say that you went up, because you'd go up on along the animal. That's one pshat that the Ravid gives. But then the Ravid says a second pshat, that maybe we could say that there was some sort of step that they made by the makom hefshet, that when you had to be osik paraglayim, you would go on some sort of, just like we had by the menorah, we had this oven that had three steps on it. So maybe by the dissecting of of the animal, there was also some sort of step that you could step on to go higher up to deal with the higher parts of the animal. Just like we asked by the oven, by the menorah, isn't that a chatzitza between the ritzpah and the kohen who's doing the avodah? So why aren't we choshesh that this is going to be mafsik, it's going to be a chatzitza between him and the ritzpah? So he says, well, the hefshet and the nituach are not avodos, so there's no psul of chatzitza. In fact, he says, nituach is kosher bizarre. We're used to the phrasing of the Gemara, shchita is kosher bizarre. That's a great chiddush, that shchita, the reason we only highlight shchita, is shchita's navoda. So even so, it's kosher bizarre. But nituach, there's never even a reason to assume that it should only be done by Kohanim, says the Ravid. It's kshera bizarre. It's not part of the avodah at all. Anyone could go take apart the animal. So therefore, if it's even kshera bizarre, there's not going to be any din of chatzitza between the ritzpah and the feet of the person. And that's what the Ramban al Torah writes as well, that the hefshet and the nituach are not avodos, they're ksheros bizarre. And that's why it says, v'nasnu b'nei Aaron, that only afterwards there's a chiyuv in the B'nai Aaron to get involved in the next step. The Amud Davar in the Tziv, he writes that there's a mitzvah b'baylim yosemi b'kohanim. Not only is it kshera bizarre, then the Tziv writes that maybe it's better, Vayikra Perek Aleph Pasuk Vav, that maybe it's better to be done by the Bailim themselves rather than the Kohanim. However, the Rambam in Tmidin Musaf in Perek Vav Halacha Gimel writes that the people who are Zocha B'Shchita Satamid and the Halachas Ha'evarim they would be the ones that do the Hefshet V'nituach. So it seems clear from the Rambam that this was Dafka done by Kohanim. It was Dafka the Kohanim who would do the Hefshet and the Nituach. The Hefshet and Nituach aren't mentioned in the Mishnah in the Seder HaPayasos, right? There was no pious to decide who gets to do the Hefshet and Nituach. So the Rambam would say, yeah, it's because it's the same people who won the pious to do the carrying of the animal. Those were the people who get to do the Hefshet and Nituach. Now there is a Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, in Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Chav Tes, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, that says, Vayefshitu Halevim. Talking about Karbanos, it says, who would do the Hefshet? The Levim would do the Hefshet. So the Ravag says, this is a raya to the sheet of the Ramban, to the sheet of the Ravid, that Hefshet is kosher bizarre. A Levi has a din of a zar. A Levi is not a Kohen. So it says, Vifshitu Halevim. But we learned a couple of dapim ago that there are many places in Tanakh where Kohanim are called Levim. Usually, I think when Kohanim are called Levim, they're called Kohanim HaLevim. They're not called just Stam Levim. Anyway, the Pashpshan in the Pasuk certainly sounds like the Ralbag says that it's Dafka the Levim. There's a question, once you say that once the Pasuk says that the Levim should do it, so is there a mile of having Levim? Let's assume it's Kasher Bazar, like that majority Sheet and Rishonim. So is there a mile in having Dafka Levim over Yisraelim? Or do we assume that, no, Levi has his things. He washes the Kohen's hands, he does the Shira and the Mikdash. Me'echi tesi that a Levi has any mile in anything else to do over the Yisraelim. So he says that maybe this is the Rambam writes by Tikkun HaHechal in Beis HaBechira Perek Zayin that we're Madif Levim over Zarim based on the Tosefta that's quoted in the Gemara in Erevin. So it could be that the Avodas HaLevim has anything the Levim do may have a din Avoda, because we do find that the Levim had a critical role in the Mikdash. So it could be that from that it raises the level of the Hefshet V'nituach when done Dafka by Levim. So anyway, that's just an important pasuk to know, that it mentions that the Levim had a unique role over here. Okay, weiter in the dissection of this animal, karov v'nimtza kulo galoi lefanav, he would then rip open the animal, and the whole animal would be completely exposed in front of him. Natal sapeder, he would then take the fat of the animal that surrounded the digestive system of the animal, v'nasal beis shchitas harosh milamala, and they would put it on the place where they shechted the animal at the neck to cover up that area where that was slid open of the animal. Natal sekerbayim, then take the intestines, v'nasal misha zachu ben adichan, and give them to the person who won the right to rinse off the intestines. V'akeres madichan osa bebeis hamadichan, and the stomach they would rinse out in the beis hamadichan, special location for the rinsing. U'madichan osa kol tzarka, and they would rinse out these parts as much as necessary. Vakravayim madichnos hashalosh pa'amim. The intestines they would be madiach three times. B'miyutan al shulchanu shel shayish shebein amudim. They would rinse out three times, minimal of three times. On these marble tables that were in between the amudim, that were in between the pillars that had the hooks where they would hang the animals. Natal sasakin v'hifresh sareya min hakaved. They would then take a knife to dissect it further to separate the lung from the liver. V'etzba hakaved min hakaved, and the lobe of the liver from the liver. V'lo yeh mazizim mimakama, and they wouldn't remove it from its location. Nokei v'sachaze v'nasal mishazachaba. They would then make a hole in the chaza, in the breast of the animal, and give it to the person who was zocha in that part. Allah l'dofna yamanis. He would then go up to the right flank of the animal, the right side of the animal. Hayichotich v'yorid ad hashidra, and he would cut down till the spine. V'lo yonogeh b'shidra shemigil ben beis dakos, and he wouldn't touch the shidra in the slicing until he got between the two thin ribs. Chatcha v'nasna l'misha zachabai. He would cut it open, cut it off, and give it to the one who was zocha in it. V'akavi t'liyaba, and the liver was hanging in it. Balo l'geira. He would then go to the geira. And he would leave two ribs on either side of it, and give it to the one who was zochin it. And the kana, the lev, the reya, the windpipe and the heart and the lungs were all hanging on it. He then went to the left flank of the animal. He would leave two thin ribs above and below. And so he would leave on the other side. So he would leave two apiece on the top and two apiece on the bottom. And again, he would cut it off and give it to the one who was supposed to take that part of the animal. And the spine was together with it. And the spleen was connected to it. And it was the larger of the two flanks. The left flank was the larger of the two flanks of the animal. But the right one is the one that they would call the gedola, since the liver was hanging on it. Unclear exactly why it was so critical to know what was called the gedola versus what was the gedola. Maybe not to fool the kohanim who had to schlep it, that they're going to expect it to be lighter or heavier based on the name. So we have to clarify what it actually is. So we call one the gedola while the other one was actually the gedola. Bala leukatz. He would then go to the hindquarters of the animal, like the tail area of the animal, and you cut that off for the person who won the right to carry that. So you had the tail, the lobe of the liver, and the two kidneys together with it. Then what's left? Now you cut off the entire animal. You had hung the animal originally by its left hind leg, so now you have the left hind leg hanging there all alone on the hook. So good. So now you take off that left hind leg. So that's why it's natal. It's not chatach anymore. Everything was chatach already. You already cut everything. So now you take the left hind leg and you cut it v'nasal l'misha zachaba, and you give it to the person who is zachaba, who was zocha in that part of the animal. Fine. So now we've dissected the animal into all 13 parts, and we have handed it off to the different people. So now you have a line of kohanim, a line of people that are each carrying different parts of the animal. Nimtzu kulan omdim b'shura. So they would do this amazing dissection each and every day, twice a day. Tamishal shachar, tamishal ben arba'im. So kulan omdim b'shura. Everyone, all the kohanim, were standing there in a line, holding these probably dripping bloody parts of this animal, ve'ivarim biyadam, they were holding the limbs that they were supposed to be holding in their hands. So now we're going to go through the list of who was holding what and where? Now, just parenthetically, before we go down the list of who is holding what and where, in general, by all karbanos, there's a halacha of haktaras emurin. There's a halacha that you're supposed to burn the emurin of the karban. Now, by karban ola, there's a halacha that you burn all of it. It's kula kalil. Vasisa olasecha habasar v'adam. The basar v'adam, everything gets burnt by a karban ola. So the achronim have the following discussion. By a karban ola, is there a din of haktaras emurim also? Meaning, is it a din that you burn the same din of haktaras emurim that you have by every other karban? Just in addition to that, there's also a din that's kula kalil, that you burn everything else as well? Or do we say no? There's only a din of kula kalil, but there's no specific special din of haktaras emurim by a karban ola. L'may naf kemina, one way or the other, whether there's only one din or it's a separate din. So naf kemina would be by the Chulios HaShidra, where it doesn't have a din of Basar, it only has a din of Hatsamos. So mitzad ha'alach of Kula Kalil, it doesn't have a Chavas Haktara. Pasuk says, V'asisa l'secha ha'basar v'hadam. There's no requirement to burn the Hatsamos of the Ola. So these Chulios HaShidra, since they have a din of Hatsamos, midin the Karban Ola, midin Kula Kalil, they would not need to be burnt. But by all karbanos, the chulios hashidra are burnt because it's part of the aktaras haemurim. So if by karban ola there is a din of aktaras haemurim, so these chulios hashidra also need to be burnt. If there's no din of aktaras haemurim, there's only a din of kula kalil, well, these are bones and they should be excluded from the burning. So that's why that's the nafkamina in this suffix. So the briska rav held b'pshitos that the whole din of haktara ba'ola is only from the parsha of ola of kula kalil. There's no din haktara se'murin by the karban ola. So when Biri Adaf Biri quotes from the Chidushe Agrid, that it seems that there are a lot of rayas against this, that there are a lot of places that it seems not this way, that it seems that there is a separate din of haktara se'murin even by a karban ola, in addition to the din of kula kalil. For instance, in Zvachim Daf Kuftes if you take a kezayis, if you bring up a kezayis of a karban ola in combination with its emurim outside the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to be chayiv. So what kind of tziruf, a tziruf of the basar ola with the emurim of the ola? Sounds like these are two separate components of the karban ola. So we see there is such a concept of emurim of a karban ola, that emurim of a karban ola means something to us. So there must be a din of haktaras emurim. Similarly, in the brice over there we find tziruf of a chatzi zayis of basar with a chatzi zayis of chelev by an ola. So by Mi'ila also, in Mesech's Mi'ila Daf Tazvav, we find that there are hei dvarim ba'ola that are mitzar from zeh mzeh, including habasar v'achelev. So we see, in addition to the din of haktaras basar, there's also a din of haktaras emurin, the chelev. There's also a din of haktaras emurin by the karban ola. Mikdash Tavrol says that there's no din of haktaras emurin. Says like the Brisk Rav, that there's no din of haktaras emurin by the karban ola against all these rayas that the grid suggests. And the Mikdash David says the raya is from our Mishnah that there's no halacha of Aktaras Emurim, because by Aktaras Emurim there's a halacha that you have to be maktir all the emurim together. Whereas over here by the Karban Tamid, we would be mafrid the chelev mi oseres hakaved. We would separate the chelev from the oseres hakaved. The oseres hakaved was on the dofen and the klayus as well, and they were maktir kol echad ve'echad. So by Balkarcha, you have to say, by the ola, there's no din of... This is not a din. There's no din of haktara ke'echad. Why would there not be a din of haktara ke'echad? Because there's no such din when it comes to kula kalil. There's only a din of haktara ke'echad by haktara se'murim, and there is no din of haktara se'murim when it comes to the karban ola. So anyway, that is the major discussion in the achronim in terms of the nature of the halacha that you have to burn the entire karban ola. Is it one din of kula kalil, or is it two dinim of the same din you have by every other karban of haktara se'murim plus the din of kula kalil? So now we have these 13 quanim lined up. So let's go through the list. Harishon Rosh Beregel, the first guy would be holding the Rosh and the Regel, Harosh Biyamino, the Rosh in his right hand, V'chotma Klape Zro'o, and the Chotem is facing his arm, the nose of the animal facing his arm, Karnov Bein Etzba'osav, the horns are between his fingers, Beis Shchitaso Milamalan, and the neck of the animal where it was shechted is facing upward, V'apeder Nasan Aleha, and the fat that we had put on the Beis Shchita is still there, sitting on the Beis Shchita in the area where the animal was cut. Haregel shal yamin b'smalo, the right leg was in this Kohen's left hand, ubeis oron lachutz, and the place where the or was facing outward. So that was the first Kohen. Hasheni, the second Kohen, b'shtei yadayim shal yamin b'yamino v'shal smol b'smalo, he would be holding the two forelegs of the animal, the right foreleg in his right hand, the left foreleg in his left hand, ubeis oron lachutz, and the area where the or was facing the outside. Vashlishi, the third Kohen, Buukatz Uberegel, was holding the Ukatz and the Regel, the tail region and the Regel, Haukatz Biyamino, the Ukatz was in his right hand, Va'alya Meduldelas Benetzba Osav, and the tail was hanging between his fingers, Ve'etzba Hakaved Vishte Klayos Imo, and together with it was the lobe of the liver and the two kidneys. Haregel shall smol b'smolo, he was holding the left leg in his left hand, ubeisor nachutz. Harvi'i, the fourth Kohen, b'chaza ubegera, was holding the chaza and the gera. Chaza b'yamino, v'agera b'smolo, v'tzalosav shal b'ein shnei etzba'osav, and the ribs between his fingers. Hachamishi, the fifth guy, b'shtei defunos shal yamin b'yamino, v'shal smol b'smolo, with the two flanks of the animal, the right one in his right hand and the left one in his left hand, ubeisor nachutz. Hashishi, the sixth guy, b'kirvayim anasunim, b'b Bazech, the kirbayim, the intestines, they couldn't be held in any way. They're too long and slimy, and they would fall all over the place. So they had to be put in a kli. So he held those in a kli. The kraayim al gabein min lamala, and the kraayim, the legs, were on top of the kli that was holding the kirbayim, that was holding the intestines. Hazayin b'solas, seventh guy got lucky. He gets to just hold flour, so it's a little less messy. Hashmini b'chavitim, the eighth guy holds the chavitim. Hatshi b'yayin, ninth guy with the wine. Holch v'nasim mechazik kevesh l'mata b'maravo. So it's nine kohanim. I said 13. It's nine kohanim. They would then go and put them on the chazik kevesh l'mata b'maravo, the lower half of the western side of the ramp that leads up to the mizbeach. Umalchum, and they would do malicha, v'yardu ubalan lishchas hagazis likros hashema. Then they would need to go back down to the lishchas hagazis to say kriya shema. Not only to say kriya shema, we've seen the Gemara to daven as well, but they would need to go down to the lishchas hagazis. So Tana Yad v'regel kakedis yitzchak ben Avram. So we said in our Mishnah that how would they tie down the animal? They would do Yad v'regel, just like kakedis yitzchak was done. So my time, I'm sorry, lo yukoftin esatla, they wouldn't tie it in the normal way of tying all four legs together. My time, why not? So Rafun Rav Chisla, it's 2 days in Amarayim. Chadam Rishim Bizayin Kachim. One says, because that would be a Bizayin to the Kachim. Vechadam Rishim Demahalich B'chukei Amim. And the other says, because it would be like Chukas Ha'akum. My Binayi, what's enough Kamina, whether it was a Din Bizayin Kachim or it's a Din, and that's the way the Goyim did their Karbanos. Ik Binayi Dekafti B'shirai. If you tie it with nice silk cloth, Dinami B'hutza Dava, or you tie it with gold strings. So then it's not a Bizayin anymore. You're tying it very, very nicely, but it still might be a problem of Bizayin Kachin. Mikdash David says, raises the following suffix, which he says, maybe enough kamin in these 2 days in the Gemara. What would be the din if you brought it on a bama? At time of Heter Bamos, when we brought the carbon tamid on a bama, do you need to be okay the carbon like Akedas Yitzchak, or can you just be kofis, can you just tie it like a normal carbon? So it says Mikdash David, it's tali in this machlokas. According to the reason that we don't tie it normally because of Bizayin Kachim, so maybe we're more makbid about Bizayin Kachim by Kachay Mikdash than we are by Kachay Bama. It could be it's Dafka Din Kachay Mikdash that we have to be so makbid about the Bizayon that we wouldn't be kofacing in the normal way. But if the reason is Mishum Chukos HaGoy, so then there's no reason to be matirid by a Bama. If this is the way the Goyim brought their Karbanos, this is not the way we should bring our Karbanos. However, one of the Achronim, the Torah's Habama, points out that maybe this is not such a clear-cut nafkamina. Because even if you say it's Mishum Chukas Hagai, after all, it's hard to say that it's Mamish Chukas Akum, because we don't find by any of the other behemos that we shech that we ever have this Hakpada, that you need to dafka do an Akeda as opposed to the normal tying. So he says, whatever you say, it has to be like Ke'en Chukas Hagai. But it's not actual Chukas Hagai, otherwise it would always be Aser. So it must be that we're makbid dafka by karbanos, not by all animals, because dafka by karbanos, we don't even want to do something that's a shemetz of chukas hagai. So if that's the case, maybe we're only so concerned about that by katshe mikdash, maybe not by katshe banos. So it's not so clear cut that it's enough gemina. Tanan asum vayter, we call a mishnah. The mishnah says in shkalim shalosh asher shulchanos hayi b'mikdash. That's where number 13 comes up. 13 shulchanos they had in the mikdash. Shmona shel shayish be'beis hamitbchayim shalei madich nesu kerbayim. There were eight that were made of marble in the Beis HaMikdash, where they would clean off all the intestines. Beis B'marav Shel Kevesh, two on the west side of the ramp, Echad Shel Shayish V'Echad Shel Kesef, one made out of marble, one made out of silver. Al Shel Shayish Nosen Se'evarim V'Al Shel Kesef Klei Shares. On the marble one they would put the Evarim of the animal, on the silver one they would put the Klei Shares. Ubu Ulam, and in the Ulam, Shnayim Mibifnim Al Pesach HaBayis, they had two on the inner part of the Pesach HaBayis, Echad Shel Kesef V'Echad Shel Zav, one made out of silver, one made out of gold. Al Shel Kesef Nosen Lechem HaPanim B'Knisaso, the silver one you would put the Lechem HaPanim on their way in, before the Lechem HaPanim went on the Shulchan, Val Shel Zav B'Yitziyaso. And on the golden one, you put the Lechem HaPanim after they were ready on the Shulchan for the whole week, on the way out. Shemalim B'Kodesh V'lo Meridim, because we always go up in stature, so if it was heading toward the golden Shulchan, we'd put it on silver first, but after it was on the golden Shulchan for a whole week, we would then have to put it on gold. We couldn't go down and put it on silver. V'Echad Shel Zav B'Fnim Shalav Lechem HaPanim Tamid. And then there was, of course, the Shulchan, that had the Shulchan we think of as the Shulchan, that always had the Lechem HaPanim on it, had a constant Lechem HaPanim on it. When you would replace last week's Lechem HaPanim, you would push it out with this week's Lechem HaPanim, so it was never empty from the Lechem HaPanim. Michti, so says more, wait a second, we have all these tables, some of them made of silver, some marble. I thought we're never stingy, we're never cheap in the Mikdash. So why do we make the Shayish ones? Why do we make any marble ones? Why do we make any silver ones? It should all be gold. Go all out. So says Rabbi Yassi, now metals conduct heat, and if we were to make it all gold, it would become very, very hot, and we want the limbs to remain fresh. So in order to remain fresh, we need to put them on something that's cold. Says the Rush, Mesha Matiach Mukham Mesabasum Umiskalkel, Ubi Shalmi Parak Valaloha Yemasriach Basar Kodesh Meolam. One of the Nisim that we had was that Basar Kodesh never spoiled. So says the Rush, Ein Maskir and Maisa, says Yerushalmi rather, Rush quotes, Ein Maskir and Maisa Nisim, Kalomar Nisim Lo Samchinan. We're not Sumich on the Nais. One could have answered, what do you mean? This is why they never spoiled, because they always, but still, never ever to have spoiled, that's still a great miracle. So obviously it was a miracle, but we're not Sumich on a Nais. Shal Shachre, Nishkat Al Keren, Tzvonis Marav, this is the correct Yirsa, by the Talmud Shal Shachre, they would shecht it on the northwestern side. Minani mili, Amar Chisa Damakra, Shnayim Layom, Kineged Hayom. It's a Shnayim Layom, so it should be across from the Yom, from where the sun is rising. Tani Nami Hachi, Shnayim Layom, Kineged Hayom. Atomer Neged Hayom, Leinu El Chavas Hayom. How do you know it means that it's telling us the location of where it should be shechted? Maybe it's just telling us Chavas Hayom. So how do we know that it's telling us that it should dafka be on the northwestern side, across from the eastern side of the sky where the sun is rising? Kshu Omer, Es HaKevis HaKha Ta'asev HaBoker. No, the Chavos Yom is already taught by the Pasuk when it says, bring one lamb in the morning, one in the afternoon. Hamani Mekayim Shnayim Layom. So why does it have to say Shnayim Layom? I already know. 1 + 1 = 2. Why does it have to tell me 2? It says Kevitz Echad. 1 + 1 = 2. So, Mani Mekayim Shnayim Layom, Neged Ayom. Hakeitzad, Tom Shal Shachar, Yinishchat Al Keren Tzvonus Maravis, Al Tabash Shnia, Vishal Ben Arbayim, Yinishchat Al Keren Tzvonus Mizrachis, Al Tabas Shnia. That pasuk Kevzechat Hasar Broker Kevzechat Hasar Ben Arbayim was made famous by the Akdamah to the Ein Yaakov, where the Akdamah to the Ein Yaakov quotes a phantom medrash. No one was ever able to locate this medrash, but he says the medrash says that there's a machlokas as to what is the most important certain pasuk in the entire Torah, the klal of the entire Torah. Is it v'ahavtal re'echa kamocha? You know, you think of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So one shita is as hakevsa chatasa brokas hakevsa shnita asabin rabayim, and says the haktam to the Ein Yaakov, because the yisod of all of Judaism is to be consistent every day, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. I always ask my kids whenever we're learning Mishnayos, how many carbon tamis were there? They said two a day. Did they bring it on Shabbos? Did they bring it on Yom Kippur? Did they bring it on Tisha B'Av? The answer is, well, Tisha B'Av. But the answer is, machlokes where they had Tisha B'Av in the times of Bayis Sheni. The answer is yes, 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 every single day. It's like Daf Yomi. We just maintain that level of consistency, and that's what aids us in our Ruchnias.